Last night was the NFL draft, and all I keep thinking about was all these people that were broke 20 minutes ago, and now they've got these million-dollar deals, and their whole life has changed, right? Raven, producer John, producer Sean, what an incredible moment, not only for the players, but for their families, too. Like, all the hard work pays off in that exact moment.
I would imagine that the days, like, after you win, like, the lottery or something like that, the days before the money hits your account, it's almost like when you get a big tax return. You're just waiting. You're breathless with anticipation. You don't know what you're going to do. It's a trying time right there, right? Mm-hmm. And you finally get drafted. Your number is called, and you know, I'm going to make between this and this. Guaranteed I'm getting at least this amount of money. I'm going to be a millionaire.
I think you know. I think you've had it in your head for a while what you're going to do with that money. You know what I mean? Like, you've got a feeling. You've had thoughts since you were like a little kid about what that money's going to.
The first thing you buy after you get drafted into the NFL. What is that? You got all this money all of a sudden. You think you know right away what you're going to spend it on?
Oh, yeah. I'm buying a tank. No one's going to mess with the guy with the tank, okay? Can you imagine coming home one day and your neighbor's just out there shirtless with an army helmet on, polishing his tank? Like, hey, neighbor!
Where are you going to park this tank?
Right in my house first. Right in my front yard.
Oh, gosh.
He's going to keep it polished.
One of those things. Yes, right. It's one of those things that you wouldn't even know that you could buy a tank until you had so much money that you could get a tank.
Can you imagine me bringing my kids to school in a tank?
I was going to say like a nice two-bedroom condo, you know, maybe with like, you know, some reasonable HOAs. Then, you know, I'm either living in it or renting it for the rest of my life. But now I don't know what to say, man. You opened up with tank and yeesh.
I just Googled how much do tanks cost.
Yeah.
Tanks available to civilians typically range from hundreds of thousands to $1 million. So if you got $1 million, sure, here you go.
There are tanks
available to civilians.
Available to civilians.
Yeah, yes. No problem. It's the ammo that's going to be a little bit harder to come by. But, you know,
Raven, what are you buying? You just got drafted into the NFL. You got like $3 million now. What are you doing?
Well, you know what? I mean, John brought up a condo. I'm just going to say something on the beach. It doesn't have to be a condo or a townhouse or whatever. It could be a shack as long as it's on the actual beach. Right?
That flood insurance, though, bro.
Oh, just come on, man. I don't need to worry about that in my fantasy land as to what it is that I'm buying. I just got drafted. I can afford the flood insurance if I have a shack.
I want to take all that money and buy myself some big gold chains. You know, like the rappers do. Like, I want big gold chains. I'm so into big gold chains right now, but like, I buy fake ones because, you know, I don't have any money.
Like Run DMC, yeah.
Right. But like, I want it to be real gold and real diamonds.
You think that those were hollow, right? That's what people used to tell me.
Well, right,
those
they're hollow ones, gold. I want 14 carats solid gold.
Yeah, like that size, that's going to be like, that's like 30 pounds. You're going to be weighted down.
I'm going to have to protect it in Sean's tank.
It's polished.
What was your first summer job? 1-800-330-9999. They say the top three summer jobs for teens. Number three, lifeguard.
Okay, that's a great job, seems to me.
And they pay well.
Yeah.
They're understaffed, but you have to be really qualified, obviously.
And you have to be paying attention. You can't be, you know, right, distracted.
Number two, pet sitting or dog walking. Okay, I can sign off on that.
Sounds great.
And number one, babysitting. Now, I remember when I was a kid, all the teenagers, like all the girls anyway, we would all babysit. I have to tell you now, as a mom, after hiring a couple teenagers, I won't hire a teenager again to babysit.
I mean, it's surprising to me, but I guess things have changed. Everybody's got to make their own decisions. You know what? All these jobs sound great because they involve some sort of access to outdoors. I think my first summer job was really just my first job, and it was dishwashing at a Chinese restaurant.
Terrible decision.
It was so hot and disgusting. Oh, wasn't good for my skin. I can promise you that. Hey, Tony, what was your first summer job?
Yeah, I used to do landscaping, if you want to call it that, but I was about 13 or 14, and I would go out to neighbors' homes and pull poison ivy and all kinds of stuff out of the backyards, and I always ended up with poison ivy on my face at some point. That was kind of my summer job.
I feel like a lot of kids' first job is landscaping. Huh. Yeah, I think my husband was, too.
I tell you what, you get away with not working hard, come work for my kid. Mm. He will crush you. All right. Landscaping excavation. You're working all day. 16 hours today.
So tan, though. You always know who's like working like landscaping or the camps because they're so tan.
Them and roofers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What do you do now for a living, out of curiosity?
Me?
Yeah.
I work in a... in a finance office where I actually don't get any sun.
Okay.
And I sit at a desk, and I'm very pale now and less muscular.
It's my husband. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Cindy, what was your first summer job?
Driving a flower delivery van. So yeah, when I was 16, I worked at the local flower shop, and on the weekends, I drove that thing all over the county delivering flowers to people and helped the florists like set up for weddings once in a while, and it was pretty fun. I got to see a lot of people's like smiling faces, and I got to know every single road in the county. So that was pretty cool.
Were you ever nervous? I'm always like that the flowers would fall over, that something would happen. I always think like driving cakes and flowers are the hardest thing.
Things were like kind of like spaced off. So once you put things in there, they were pretty secure. It worked. But I still drove very careful. Mm-hmm.
One of my first early jobs was delivery. Same thing. Learning all the roads through the town. I mean, I don't know the names of most of them, but I mean, I know every shortcut there ever was. It was pizza, so I didn't care. I flew all over the place. Who knows what you know condition those pizzas got to the customers in, but I loved that job. And you know what? As a florist, like, it's a real skill. It's an artwork. So if you work that for a while and set up, like, that is something that you carry with you forever, right? Like, I get a bouquet. I go to set it up. It looks terrible, you know? But, like, my sister-in-law, she did it, you know, for a while. She worked in like, some sort of, you know, art thing or whatever. It's beautiful every time.
Speaking, going back to the roads.
It was fun.
Going back to the road thing, I just had this conversation with my teenager because she'll be driving next year.
Yeah.
Do kids know roads anymore? Because our head is always in the phone when we're driving. And I say, like, how are you going to know how to drive to school? How are you going to know how if you want to go drive to the store or the grocery store? And she's like, I'll put it in the nav. I go, to go like 3 miles?
Right.
You know?
And what if the network is down? What if the zombie apocalypse is here?
I mean, I may not know the names of the streets, but I know where I'm going.
Right.
I should make her deliver flowers.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 Everybody has their thing. The thing that drives them nuts. Even though you don't know anything about a person, they may post something online or may say something to you in passing, and you just kind of roll your eyes and you think to yourself, that's all I need to know about you. It's your chance to share them. 1-800-330-9999.
Anna, if you get out of your car to use a drive-up ATM, that's all I need to know about you.
It's the same thing with drive-through fast food. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Why did you use this option? There's other options for you, and if you don't have wheels, you don't get this.
Pulled up to the bank the other day, and to be fair, it's after banking hours, regular hours, but it is a regular bank branch. They have a walk-up ATM inside the lobby, and then they have a drive-up one. And here is an individual that is outside of their car using the ATM. There's two people in the car. They've gotten out of the back seat and they're using the ATM in front of them. And for whatever reason, it's the longest ATM transaction of my life. I'm in my car following the rules. I just need my money.
Donald, that's all I need to know about you.
If a restaurant has a QR code you need to scan to look up the menu rather than having a physical one, that is all I need to know about them. I can't stand those QR codes. They never work, and I just want to look at a real menu.
Most places will give you the option, though, too. Like, okay, would you like a paper menu?
No, I don't like. I'm with you. I don't like looking at menus on my phone.
I do.
For certain things, it's okay. Like, if it's a pop-up thing or something like that, that's fine. But if it's like a full-blown place that I'm coming for a meal, no. Give me a menu.
It doesn't really bother me. My family owns restaurants, and my dad never did it. We never switched to the QR code.
Sure.
Everything is still regular paper menus. But when I go somewhere and I see it, I think like, oh, how modern we are. Look at us. Like, you know,
I can't stand it. One of the first things I want to do when I sit down for a meal, if I'm out at a restaurant or whatever, is disconnect from my phone. Mm. It's one of the first things I want to do.
I guess that's true. Brandy, that's all I need to know about you.
If you're staying in a relationship because you don't want to be the one to end it, now that is all I need to know about you.
Hard, though. What if the other person's really nice and you don't want to hurt their feelings?
Mm. You feel bad for them?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but it's also kind of selfish, though, because if you're not the right person for them, you're kind of holding them back from finding that person.
It's a good point. Yeah. You're right.
What if they're going to cry, though, and hold on to your ankle?
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Please don't.
No.
I'm not going to let you.
But then what happens if, like, you start liking them a few months later and you're like, you know what? I can't believe I was going to break up with this guy. Yeah. That's probably not right either.
It's going to move in circles. You'll be back right where you were.
Heather, that's all I need to know about you.
Well, if you are okay with the idea of participation trophies, that's all I need to know about you.
After the age of like 6 or 7, right? I think when they're little, they all get one.
5 or 6, they're okay.
Yeah.
After that, like, you got to figure out who's good. I'd be all right with that,
good
I guess.
Good point. Right. Yeah. Let's give it to them if they're a little bit younger.
Yeah, let's build them up a little bit before we, you know, start to let them know. But you know what? I'm a big believer. Listen, keeping score is important. I think it's important.
But they should know that sometimes you win and sometimes you lose.
Right.
And what does it take to win and how do you strive for it? It's all important. There's
a lot of lessons
things.
There.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is National Bring Your Kids to Work Day. How convenient on a Saturday, you know?
Yeah. On the weekend, it's perfect because you won't see anybody actually at your job. But, you know, we typically have had a lot of kids come in before with Bring Your Kids to Work Day.
And it's one thing because they get to play and have fun, but what if you actually really wanted to put your kids to work? Like, put them to work at your job so they could help make you money. Do you actually have that in your life? 1-800-330-9999. Paige, do you have your kids work for you?
I do. My oldest, she's my intern. She's 16 years old. I do marketing for my friend's company. We work with different accounts, and I just, you know, give her the tiny tasks so she can learn something and use it for her school to say she was has work experience.
Anna, you run a marketing company. You got somebody that's working for you that's not a friend. You allow them to have their kid intern for them or no?
Depends on the kid. I think if the child is really smart and they're 16 and they're motivated and they, you know, can do what they're being asked, then I don't see what the problem is. I think that's great because I think that as a mom, you probably hold her to a higher standard than anybody else would.
Yeah.
I would.
Certainly could be, right.
Ken, how about you? Do you work with your children?
I do. I sell goods on Etsy, like leather goods, and they help me package them up and distribute orders. So it's kind of like fun because we get to all just hang out at home and, you know, our Postmates are tax deductible. So,
wait, but are they older or are they young?
My oldest is 15 and my youngest is 10. But listen, this isn't like child labor here. Like, it's not like, it's just like a little bit of work. You know, I package up some stuff. Like, it's teaching them life skills. You know, it's getting them involved.
These are easy ways to make your kids work for you. Not bad ideas at all. But, like, I want to figure out ways that they can make us tons of money.
Well, hey, Anna, tell your kids to get older. And then you go make them work on the factory floor line. I don't know what to tell you. All right, this guy makes belts. They ship his belts.
Victor, how about you? Do you work with your kids or your, one of them, any of them?
Yeah, my younger son, he just turned 27. He's not working. He's a college graduate, good kid, smart guy, but doesn't want to work. So I brought him on. I have a small law firm and brought him on as a process server and investigator. And, you know, I didn't realize just how crucial some of that work is, you know, and he just does not. He's not doing it well, and it's exposing me to risk. And I can't risk it anymore. And how do you let your own son go, you know?
It's such a thing, I think. Doctors and lawyers, right? Doctors, lawyers, practices, places typically where you have a practice. Like, I think with any business, if you're a business owner for a long time, you want your kids to take over the business, right? Because you realize the value of your business, that it makes money, it you know, holds a value in the community and all those type of things. Like, all those things mean something to you when you have fought and built a business. And then our kids come along and they have zero interest in what it is that we're doing.
Nice.
We want it.
I spent 35 years developing this goodwill.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he doesn't have goodwill. He just doesn't want to put the attention that focus it needs.
No, I mean, it's terrible. We talked about it earlier, but like, my poor father built these highly successful, great restaurants, and none of us want it.
None of us. Nobody wants them.
Three of us.
Nobody wants
them. It's terrible.
I tried to tell my kid how it would be so cool to run a DJ business. He liked DJing a couple parties, and then he started getting into excavation and landscaping.
Right.
If it's heavy equipment, great. Carrying heavy speakers? Nope, not great. Not interested.
But imagine if my dad had to fire me one day. I would be really upset by that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Now you brought him on. Like, what are you going to? He has to stay there now. He runs the company. He's just going to run it right into the ground.
You keep him in that one section there doing process.
Would you rather dig a pool or entertain at a pool party?
Yeah,
come on. I'm going to pee all day.
Listen, I mean, no question in my mind. His mind, complete opposite. You know, you got to let them do what they got to do, I guess.
Yep.
You know, going through a breakup is never a good thing, especially when you get dumped and you didn't see it coming. Right?
I mean, I would say it's not a fun thing, but sometimes it is a good thing. Sometimes it's a great thing.
Well, Raven, producer John, producer Sean, this has been trending all over the place today because Courtney Cox, who you would think is probably one of America's greatest sweethearts, right? She was talking about when she got dumped. Mm. She was dating that guy, Johnny McCade, for about 3 years. Here's what happened.
We broke up and it was really intense. We broke up in therapy. I didn't know it was coming. We went to this therapist to talk about our boundaries, what we could and couldn't accept about each other. Instead, he just broke up within the first minute. And I was like, what? We were engaged. And I was so shocked.
Do you know Ed Sheeran hooked them up? He was the middleman for them.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. he loves her. Like Ed Sheeran, what, like, you know,
everybody loves Courtney Cox.
Yeah. Well, I mean, can think of one person who doesn't, but yeah, okay.
I mean, it's pretty revealing when you break up in the first 60 seconds of a therapeutic session.
Right. I was thinking about it. That's a pretty bad way to break up. Luckily, you're with your therapist, so that helps things.
I mean, but I mean, think about too, from his side, is like, you thought that that was the place you had to do it. Mm-hmm. So he didn't think that he could do it anywhere else. What does that tell you about being with Courtney Cox?
Oh, that's terrible. Don't think
mean,
that way.
I don't know. Like, I'm just saying that there's two aspects to consider here. I'm not saying that that's why, but maybe.
It's the thought.
Worst place you got dumped. Mm. Sean.
I was, my job, when I was working for a supermarket, actually, I was dating a girl. Saw her the night before. The next day I was in work, just, you know, doing my thing. I saw her walk by me with another guy hand in hand.
Oh.
And we just looked like we connected eyes, looked right at each other, and I just knew it. Like, I didn't even bother texting her.
I mean,
her
she knew you worked there, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was her way?
100% on purpose.
I mean, that is cold.
That is cold.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I mean, because who really holds hands at the grocery store in general?
Weirdos.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, they came there to send you a message. You know what I mean?
It was terrible.
Yeah.
Not a good feeling. Because then, like, you know, then you're at work for 12 hours, and you're like, well, now I have to dwell on this and think about this.
If it was, like, the first or second date that I went out with somebody, and they were like, hey, let's go to this grocery store. There's no way I'm holding that person's hand. Mm. If they were like, hey, hold my hand, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
And then if I found out after, I'd feel like a pawn in that, right? Like, that whole thing is weird.
John, worst place you got dumped?
I got dumped at my girlfriend's college. This is why you don't go into college in a relationship, okay? Mm. I went to go visit my girlfriend, who, to be fair, like, I deserved it a little bit. I had broken up with her already. Then we got back together. It was weird. I go to visit her hours north of my school, and she dumps me the first night, and then I had the whole weekend. And like, my buddy who drove me was like at his family function.
Oh, so now you're there.
So I'm stranded.
Yeah.
For the whole weekend.
So,
nowhere to sleep.
So
nothing
awkward.
Like it was.
So where'd you sleep?
I had thankfully one other kind of friend who I went to high school with, who also went to that school, and I like, called him desperately. I'm like, buddy. Buddy, it's bad. It's really bad.
Mm.
It's really, yeah, stranded for the entire weekend.
That is the worst place you were dumped.
On the phone, on total phone, Heather called me to break up with me for Melissa. Seventh grade. Was so cold, man. That was a big deal when you had, you know, the total phone back in the day. That's what they called it. People don't even know what total phone is.
Right.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, so that means, like, you know, you can
have urgent calls.
You can have conference call, basically.
It was a big thing.
Well, called me, dumped me for the other friend. I was very upset.
You know how you know that hurts is that you used real names right out of the gate.
Exactly.
You didn't even know who they are.
Oh, no, it's
they're listening to the show right now, one of them at least, and they talked about it. I mean, the whole school knew the next day.
My favorite story, and I always use a name, Ben. Ben showed up at my cheerleading practice in high school and broke up with me at cheerleading practice and told me he cheated on me with another girl in front of the rest of the squad.
Right.
I was captain.
Anna.
What?
It's going to be okay.
We have his address. What's the YouTube series or the character show that your kids watch that you just can't stand? Producer Sean, you've been all fired up about this.
Hey there, boy. Are you ready to look for treasure? I think he is. He's got like a little hard hat thing on. He's wearing some pants. Dogs don't wear pants, but mine does.
What is this?
This is Unspeakable. He's like one of those YouTubers. He only does like Roblox videos and some VR things. He's from Australia, and my stepson is obsessed with him. Watches him all the time. Sometimes at night, like before he goes to bed, and he's always on his tablet, and it's blasting, and I don't know what it is about this guy. I just can't stand him.
I mean, I like Australians. I love the accent. What does this dude do?
He just streams Roblox, which is like looks like a Lego kind of game.
Yeah.
It almost looks like Legos. And it's just,
I've heard of it, yes.
You know, he just does like stupid, wacky things that like
I don't
kids.
Understand it either because my daughter watches these videos too, and she's 5. Like, why do you want to watch other people play video games? But I just looked it up just to add fuel to your fire, Sean.
Oh, thanks.
Forbes says his net worth is $28.5 million.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Right? It's crazy. Mm-hmm. The other day, we were talking with somebody, and he was like, he was hating on Mr. Beast. And I don't watch Mr. Beast. I don't know anything about him. But I know his name, and I know that he's worth billions and billions of dollars. And, like, every time I turn around and read, he's, like, either giving people the power of sight or, like, digging wells somewhere in another country. So, I mean, when I hear that, I think to myself, well, maybe this YouTube money is going to something good. But I know that there are shows out there that will drive you nuts.
Looking at our Facebook page. There's YouTube kid videos of people just yelling into the camera, like, yo, bro!
You know what one that confused me, too, was the kids that were unboxing things before.
Oh, yeah. They make tons and tons of money.
Tons of money.
Kristen said, bad dinosaurs. It's new, and I hate it. Oh, boy.
Adam, what's that show? You just can't do it anymore with your kids.
Blippi. My three-year-old son loves Blippi, and it just, after a while, he just can't deal with it.
I'm so jealous of
30
how
to
much
40 year old
he's
man
worth.
Running around.
Yeah, that 40 year old man running around wearing that bow tie is worth most people in the world.
I think he's worth like $300 million, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's incredible.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I'm doing something wrong for sure.
I mean, I would have signed up for that job if somebody had offered it to me. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, well, when he did it, people thought he was insane. Yeah. Right. So, right. When he first did it, right,
yeah,
you got to stay the course. Right. Stay the course. Hey, Samantha, what's that show that you can't take it anymore with your kids?
Bluey.
Oh, Bluey.
He seems like such a cheerful fellow on the front of his coloring books and everything else that my niece demands. But I've never actually once watched the show. Can you believe that, Anna?
Well, you're definitely not.
It's Bluey Australian is a girl. Accents, right?
Bluey is a girl.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's Australian accents. Mm-hmm. I do love Australian accents.
Yeah, but Bluey is a girl.
Okay. Well, that's all right.
That should have been a
dog.
In the beginning, it wasn't so bad. I thought it was a cute show in the beginning, and then I have a four-year-old who like just became absolutely obsessed with it, and that's all she wants to watch now, and I just want to rip my hair out.
Yeah.
He's the keeper of the castle.
He didn't weed whack the lawn all summer.
He's a caring dog dad.
The dog hasn't been out since 2 o'clock.
He's the romance king.
We haven't been on a date in 6 months.
It's time for Raven's report card.
Every week we check in with Raven's wife, Alicia, to see how he's been behaving as a husband.
Hello.
What's going on?
It's an interesting morning, Anna.
What happened?
So I have a second interview for this job today, and I'm manifesting. It's my job, so... Like, I have the job. It's my job, right?
Totally
so,
your job.
Did you say
totally
it out loud?
My job.
You have to say it out loud to the universe. Me and my girlfriends are very big on this. You have to say it loud to the universe three times.
I have been saying it, and I'm even practicing getting up at the time I would need to get up. So I was up at 4 a.m. today, which is 10 minutes after he gets up. And it's going to be an interesting adjustment to both be up at the same time in the morning.
Oh,
I can tell you that.
That I am certain of.
Yeah, I'm just moving my stuff into one of the other bathrooms.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. She goes on a low light bathroom fan noise thing happening. I need high light, no noise from the fan. Like she at one point took her bath cup and leaned over into my sink. Like it was, no, we can't be having that every day.
Wait, see, I was going to be nice and say, thank you. I was so afraid he was going to try to talk to me at 4 a.m. But don't talk to me. Good morning is sufficient. But I had to lean over and use his sink because my sink has no cold water and he never fixed it.
Yeah, well, you used the hot side of my sink. So how's that? Huh? You might want to do that next time with your eyes open.
Yep. See, I was going to compliment you for not speaking to me at 4 a.m., but there you go.
Mm-hmm. If you want to talk about
your mouth again.
I have something important to say about 4 a.m. life because I also get up at 3:40 in the morning. My husband is still sleeping. But when he's away for work, it's my favorite because I could turn the lights on. And there's nothing more exciting than when you get up, like that you could turn your lights on in your bedroom and get ready.
Right.
All right. So what's going on with the job that you're manifesting? Oh, I hope you get it. You will.
An interview in a couple hours, Anna.
Okay. Well, my fingers are crossed for you.
Thank you.
How's Raven been behaving as a husband?
He keeps having this weird battle with me, but I don't like daffodils, okay? Is that weird? I don't dislike them, actually. Like, they're a flower. I don't have a problem with them. They're not my favorite flower. He has a huge issue with me not liking daffodils. Now he points them out everywhere we go and swears that an ex-boyfriend got me daffodils, and that's why I don't like them.
It's a strange conversation to bring up here, but it is true. She's got a weird hate for daffodils and tulips, I might add, as a matter of fact.
No.
Both springtime flowers that come back every year seem very resilient. Very low maintenance. I mean, they're beautiful on our street. They're yellow in color. And for whatever reason, she's like, daffodils are stupid.
Never said that. This has been my life all week. Every time he sees them now, he's like, look at those pretty daffodils over there.
Seems like a weird thing for you to get fixated on if you don't hate them so
much. You are fixated on it. Yep. You are fixated on it.
True or false, Alicia? Ex-boyfriend gave you daffodils.
For sure.
Never.
Oh.
Never.
Okay.
She's debunked your theory.
True or false, Alicia? You wanted daffodils at one point from an ex-boyfriend. He did not get them for you.
No, because I don't like them. Why would I want them? Yeah. There's so many beautiful flowers in the world. Why do I have to want daffodils?
Did I just hear that you said we have to get rid of daffodils now across the world? Because that seems like
this is what I've been dealing with all week. Yeah. I won't plant them in the yard. There's prettier things I can plant.
Yeah.
Okay.
How many of them have we planted?
I planted plenty of them last year. They never came back.
That's right. That's right. All the things that you planted, not one of them came back. Daffodils coming up wild all over the place.
Resilient.
All over the place. There might even be a couple that grow sporadically over by our fence that I cut down with the weed whacker because she hates them so much.
Okay. I don't hate. See, this nonsense all week.
Weird.
What kind of grade would you like to give Raven for the week?
D for daffodil, Anna.
Nice.
All about eating healthy to get that summer body. All right, not really. Right, right. But we had an expert a few weeks back, and she said one of the things that you can eat, and it's actually a TikTok trend, is oats. They call it Oatzempic because oats helps you lose weight. Joining us, Chef Plum, six-time Emmy-nominated chef.
Six-time, that's very true.
Host of Restaurant Road Trip.
Yes, ma'am.
When I said, can you make something with oats and make it delicious, I never thought in a million years we'd be making meatballs.
Yeah, why not, right?
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah, we're going to make turkey meatballs out of it, which is great. But I also love the fact that when you guys have experts come on your show, you then call me to
test
that actually works and test it.
To figure
it
out.
It works. Yeah. Right. All right, so let's talk about these meatballs. So first, I've got a little bit of onion, fresh basil, some salt, and a pound of ground turkey. And one egg. So normally a lot of people will add some breadcrumbs to their turkey or to their meatballs just to kind of help it get that body and kind of help hold it together. Something has to bind it together. Protein won't stick to itself. So instead, I put oats. Look at that. Can you see it in there? These are just quick oats, organic, instant quick oats.
Instant oats. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So I've got my pan here, nice and hot. I put a little olive oil in the pan. I'm just going to take these little balls of deliciousness.
Oh, they look good.
Right? Mm. I've rolled them up. And I'm just going to put them right in the pan. Now, the key thing when you make these is you want to serve them with a sauce. Because it's turkey, there's not a lot of fat in there. And what little bit of fat is there is going to be absorbed by those oats. So what I'm going to do in this pan is we're going to brown them. So I've got my pan on full whack, just rock and roll, getting nice and hot. We're just going to brown these off. You can see nice brown color on one side. You can see, Raven, you see that?
I trust you.
Yeah, so we're just going to get those browned all around. And now when you want to serve these, though, I would definitely serve them with a sauce of some sort. Now, immediately you think tomato sauce, something like that. If you want to go that way, really easy. Buy yourself that jar of Rao's and pour it right in there and let it come to a simmer, and that'll finish you up perfect.
I can't believe you said to buy jar of sauce.
That's decent sauce. It's good sauce.
You know, home cooks who maybe
something
don't want
quick.
To, you know? Yeah, right? You can take a little can of tomatoes and just throw it in there.
And you don't need a lot. I mean, that's the thing, too. Like, you don't need to saturate or have the whole bottom thing. I think that a lot of people like with meatballs, the idea of making them with anything other than beef, basically, is cringy for them. But, I mean, once you get into it, like, they're delicious.
Well, you know, you also said, Raven, there's not a lot of oil in that pan. And I feel like when I fry,
Well, I want to brown it. I'm not trying to deep fry a meatball. Okay. So I want to brown it off. And then what I'm going to do here is I'm going to actually take a top, and I've got a little bit of water. And I'm going to add some steam to it to help cook it all around. So I'm going to pour that in. And what happens is as that water evaporates, it creates that steam, which will help cook it more evenly all around. So it's going to be ready in just about a minute. People, I'm going to make a PSA. Do you guys mind?
Go for it.
Can I have the floor?
Yes.
Stop making meatballs as big as your hand and acting like you've done something important. Like, no one wants to eat a meatball that big. Right. So other types of sauces you could put with this. Add a little beef stock and flour, and you could do like a, you know, like a Swedish meatball style, or just like a beef broth meatball. You could add a little chicken stock and wine and lemon and do like a beurre blanc sauce to go with it, you know, if I finish it with butter. It doesn't have to always be a tomato sauce, is my point. All right, so let's see where we're at.
Can we eat them yet or not yet?
Yeah, we're going to eat them right now.
It's got to be close.
All right, other meatball questions we have while these cook.
How many meatballs is too many meatballs?
Seven. Just pick a number.
Right. If a meatball is two bites in size, how many of those meatballs can you put in your mouth at once?
Why did I know you guys were going to go here? Like, immediately it becomes fifth grade. What happened here?
If a meatball is on a train and it leaves Albuquerque at 3:20 in the afternoon, and your mouth is on another train, and it leaves New York at 4:30 Eastern time.
I love the commitment to the joke, too.
Where will you meet up with these meatballs?
I'm going to call it Des Moines, Iowa.
Are the oats going to get stuck in my teeth in these meatballs?
No, they don't, actually. They kind of fall apart as you cook them. Take them out the pan, give you guys each a piece of your taste.
hot.
I like the onions in there because it adds so much extra flavor to it.
It's funny. You don't even see the oats anymore.
No, they kind of disappear,
it's like,
right?
Yeah, it's like the breadcrumbs. They just go away. It tastes like a really healthy meatball. It's really good.
Yeah. Not bad, right?
No, you don't taste the oats at all.
Yeah, I think it came out really well. I'll tell you what. It's a great way to put oats into your food. Make a meatball.
It's time for Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Come to Mama.
Anna and Raven.
Vent. Go ahead, be proud. What did you do this week to earn your margarita? 1-800-330-9999. Erica.
This week I managed somehow to work out 3 times, and I was so happy to earn a margarita.
Why do so many people call when they work out and demand margaritas? No offense, Erica, because listen, I get it. When you finally start and you have a good week, it feels really good. I'm in that mode right now. But I always think it's so funny that we reward ourselves for something that technically we're supposed to be doing, like for our own health and our own happiness.
A lot of people do that, though. So work hard all week, cheat on the weekend, that kind of thing. I mean, there's two schools of thought. There's the person that's, you know, every single day, that's it, no cheating until I'm an Adonis again, right? And then there's the other people that are like, oh, I kicked butt this week, and this weekend I'm going to tie it on.
Yeah. Erica, you enjoy that skinny margarita.
Thank you.
Jared, what did you do this week to earn your margarita?
I actually finally told my neighbor, we share a parking. We park next to each other, and they're such a bad parker. It ruined it every single day. It just like, I finally knocked on their door and I said, hey, I need to show you how to park. Like, something has to change here. And it went really well. And I showed them how to back in, and every day's better. I earned a margarita.
Wow. I mean, your neighbor sounds like a saint. I know you want a reward here, and I'm going to give you that. You can go have that drink, obviously. But if somebody knocked on my door and was like, I'm going to show you how to park in your parking space.
That's wild.
That'd be a wild conversation right there. I'd be like, excuse me?
I can't imagine anybody coming up to me and saying to me, like, let me show you how to park, and me taking it well. I mean, I knowing me, I'd be like, okay, and smile and be like, all right, thank you.
And then plot their demise immediately after.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. It'd be like a voodoo doll. Yeah. It's getting pins in it immediately after that.
No
Mind
way.
Your business, sir. But you enjoy your margarita because you really rolled the dice on that one.
Like, congratulations, man. Right. Yeah. Hey, Angela, what'd you do this week to earn your margarita?
I did laundry every single day. I am so proud.
You know, sometimes you've got those weeks where that's how it is, right? Mm-hmm. Like, no matter how much laundry you do, there's more laundry behind it. When you finally get done with all of it and knock it out, you do feel like it's a big accomplishment. Then you don't want to wear anything. That's me, anyways.
Is there any worse feeling than when you're about to get in the shower and there's no clean towels? It's like, and then you start looking at the hand towels and you're like, well, I guess I just gotta use a couple of these. It'll be all right.
Oh my God. There's nothing that makes my wife madder than if she catches me wiping my hair with a hand towel. She's like, what are you doing? That's disgusting. I'm like, really? It's a towel?
You enjoy your margarita. Sometimes it's the little things.
What couple?
I don't want to keep dealing with my sister and all of the drama it's causing.
Isn't that the stupidest thing you ever heard?
One problem.
To name the baby Clifford and demand that we change our dog's name.
You decide the outcome.
Yeah, thank you. I love the audience for that.
Will be a fun story, hopefully, to us in a few years.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's just up for you to decide who's right. Blake and Jamie. Jamie, what's going on?
Our son, Austin, he's 7 years old, and like every time we're upset with him, he just threatens to run away, and he packs his bags, and he starts to run towards the door, and it just makes me really nervous because he's such a sweet kid, and I can only imagine that he would probably just run to his friend's house, but we have no idea where he would actually go. So I always just, you know, let him get away with it after that. And I just end up ungrounding him. But I don't know what else I'm supposed to do in this situation. Let him run out the door. And that's what Blake wants me to do.
Blake, you want your 7-year-old son to pack up his bag with his Pokemon stuff and run out the door to who knows where?
Enjoy the streets, kid.
Exactly. Exactly. Every single house on our block has one of those ring cams. He gets to the corner. He's not going to know what to do next. He's going to stand there. Someone's going to come out and check on him, and he'll be fine. I used to ride my bike a couple miles each way to school at 7 and 8 years old. Come on.
So, I mean, your main issue with this is basically, like, you know, you can't discipline him, and if every time Jamie is bending to his will and being manipulated by this I'm going to run away thing?
I feel like
why are we letting him work us?
Okay, sure. Maybe he's found this, like, hack where he can, like, you know, get me to do what he wants. But, I just don't think it's worth the risk. Sure, there's the Ring cameras, but what if he were to run into the woods or something? God forbid he, like, runs into the street and there's a car that doesn't see him. Like, we just don't know what's out there. He's got a lot of allergies. That's something to worry about.
What if an alien takes him on his spacecraft?
Exactly.
Well, Anna, do you have any photos of you when you were running away when you were little?
I don't have any photos of me, but I definitely would threaten to run away, and my parents certainly weren't stopping me.
They were like, yeah, enjoy yourself.
Go have fun.
Yeah, good luck. I mean, I think there's at least a photo or two of me running away. I did actually leave one time and go to a friend's house, but I was like 15 then, and they were like, oh, have at it. Mm-hmm. They were like, at 7 or 8, I mean, I get it. If it's the go-to thing every single time he gets himself in trouble, I mean, it's funny. It's laughable at that point. On the other hand, I also don't believe that a Ring camera will keep anybody safe. Ring cameras are something you look at after something terrible has happened. It's not really the thing that we're watching every moment to make sure that we're monitoring the neighborhood. So I don't know if that's it.
One time, he comes back after an hour and you say, where were you, sweetie?
Yeah, how was it?
Until something bad happened.
Welcome home.
Oh, my God. Right.
I'm so glad that you're back.
You can't let a 7-year-old just go wandering off. You can't.
Yeah. I mean, at least give him a car.
Exactly. Right. And he's a really resourceful kid. Like, he doesn't just bring the iPad. He brings, like, batteries with flashlights. Like, I actually think
Let's reward him for running away, honey. That's
really
a good idea.
Go out there for a couple hours at least.
I think you probably turn around when you're like, oh, yeah, it is dinner time. I don't know. What do you do here, Anna?
I don't know. But the fact that he gets off of whatever he's in trouble for is problematic. Mm-hmm. And it makes me wonder, is he just using it to his advantage because he knows that's what gets you, Mom?
Right.
Because, I mean, I'm not faulting you. Trust me, I would fall for the same thing. I also don't think I'm going to let him out the door at 7 years old.
I'll let him go sleep in the shed, maybe.
If your kid keeps threatening to run away, what do you do?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
What would you do if your child kept threatening to run away? It's the problem that Blake and Jamie are having. Their son is only 7 years old, and every time he gets in trouble, he threatens he's going to go, he's going to run away. And Blake says, let him go.
Yeah.
You keep catering to him, Jamie. You keep, like, all of a sudden now he's not going to get punished, and, you know, you're hugging him, and you can't do that. But she's like, what do you mean? I'm just going to let him walk out the door?
I mean, just imagine what that will look like at 13 years old or 17 years old, right? He says, listen, we have a safe neighborhood. Everybody's got Ring cameras. He's going to get to the corner. He's going to stand there for a while. He's going to turn around and come back.
Would you let your kid, 7-year-old, just walk out the door, run away? 1-800-330-9999. Lexi, whose side are you on?
I think I'm on the wife's side a little bit. I wouldn't let him walk out the door, but the next time he does threaten it, I think I would help him pack.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah, that's you
know
what?
That might help scare him.
You know what? It might, actually, too, because if they expect your reaction to always beg them to stay, and then you're like, okay, great.
Do you have enough socks in there, honey? Hold on. We'll get a couple more pairs of underwear.
All right. You can have one rack of saltines. Have a great time.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. If your 7-year-old kept threatening to run away, would you just let them? That's the disagreement Blake and Jamie are having. Their 7-year-old son, whenever he gets in trouble, the first thing he says is, I'm going to run away. Mm-hmm. And then Blake feels like Jamie just gives in because she's so afraid he's going to actually walk out the door.
Right. He throws a couple things in a backpack, starts headed for the front door, and then she cuts him off of the door and tells him how much they love him. And in fact, he will not be grounded. She subsides with the punishment, and he wins, basically.
But her argument is like, well, what am I supposed to do? Just let him walk out? What, are you crazy? We can't just let a 7-year-old outside and see what happens. It's terrible out there.
Blake is like, that's exactly what we need to do. Let him out there. Let him see what happens. He'll be in the neighborhood. It's a safe place. He's going to come back. He'll turn around. You just can't let him do this.
Till he doesn't. Then what? Then what? Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Sue.
Oh, I think it's hysterical. I'm on his side. And I'm going to tell you why. When my daughter was 8 years old, she threatened to run away.
Mm-hmm.
She packed her bag. She went to the door. So I said to her, fine, you can leave, but you're leaving the bag because everything in it I paid for. Take your clothes off. I paid for that, too.
Mm. Yeah, so
then you can go.
You Beyonce'd her.
And then she looked at me. Yeah, and then, exactly. So then she said, well, okay, better rethink this. And she went upstairs, and that was the end of that.
Well, they're not going to leave the house naked.
Yeah.
If that's the option.
I mean,
probably
what if
not.
They did, though?
No, that'd be terrible.
What if they did? Yeah. Thanks for the
call. No, they wouldn't. No.
Kira, whose side are you on?
I'm on the dad's side. I feel like the kid should just learn his lesson, let him run away. He'll be fine. He'll just come right back.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said about the fact that you can't coddle to every single one of these situations. They have to understand that you're in charge, right? On the other hand, you know, for some people, that's really, really difficult. And it goes against their basic belief system, which is, no, I want them to think they're in charge of their own destiny. Me, I'm from the old school thought where it was basically like, I'll go in my room to avoid a beating.
Exactly. Sarah, whose side are you on?
Oh, I'm totally on the dad's side. The mom has got to call this kid's bluff before she creates a monster. And if she's really worried about it, she could probably follow at a discreet distance if she's really nervous about his safety. But he can't keep using that because it's going to create a monster if he keeps doing that.
I do like the idea of stalking them and just staying a safe distance and watching them and following them.
Isn't that parenthood?
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Blake, our audience agreed with you. Let him go. Let him learn a lesson the hard way.
Thank you.
Jamie, I mean, you're just going to have to steel yourself against this, right? Because, I mean, if he's doing this to you at 7, imagine what he'd be doing to you at 17, right? Imagine what he'll be doing when he's 13. I mean, these things will ramp up. If he feels like he can, you know, get away with that type of stuff, sooner or later it's going to happen.
I'll get the whole neighborhood staring at all the Ring cameras and just hope for the best, I guess.
You know, I mean, no, here's the thing. If you're honestly worried about where he's going to go or where he's going to wander, get some AirTags, all right?
Yeah.
Put it in his backpack when he doesn't realize. Put it in his sneaker when he doesn't realize. You know, get smart about this. Keep tabs on it. But at the same time, don't allow yourself to just get mowed down by him.
When the police officer shows up because he's been gone for now 3 hours and now you're in a full panic, right? And you say, like, he said he was going to run away, so I let him leave. How do they react to that? That's what I wonder.
I mean, if you explain to a cop, like he says, this is gonna, every time he gets upset, you know, the cop knows. Cops have seen this. There's not a thing the cop hasn't seen before. I promise you that. Not a thing.
15 or 20 minutes in the backseat of one of those police cruisers, and he'll have a whole different look on things.
Right. Well,
the same goes for you too.
Yeah, but. I don't know. I don't even know what to make of this, but I thank you guys very much. And if you have a problem too, send an email. couplescore@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $1,900. Thanks to BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off your first month on online therapy at BetterHelp.com/AnnOnRaven. All right, Penny, are you ready to play today?
I am.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck, Penny.
Okay.
Thank you.
Raven's walking out. That big old studio door will close. He will not be able to hear us. It's a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in. He gets the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to do this today so I can give away some money?
Absolutely.
Number one, John Krasinski and Steve Carell are cracking jokes in a promo for a new family movie they're both in called If. What TV show do they famously star in together?
I don't know.
Oh. Number two, Ryan Seacrest and girlfriend Aubrey Page have split up after 3 years. Ryan Seacrest does everything and will soon add to his resume that he is the host of what iconic game show that is currently hosted by Pat Sajak?
Wheel of Fortune.
Number three, Tupac's estate is threatening to sue Drake over an AI voice imitation he used on a recent track. What was Tupac's last name?
Oh, goodness. No idea.
Number four, Giselle was filmed crying at a traffic stop after stating she can't get away from paparazzi and they're constantly stalking her. Giselle is from what country?
Brazil.
Number five, Jennifer Aniston is producing a remake of 9 to 5. In the original movie, Dolly Parton, Lily Tomlin, and what other actors played co-workers rebelling against their sexist boss?
Oh, Sally Field.
Let me bring Raven back in.
No idea.
Where'd he go?
Yo!
2 out of 5 for Penny.
Not good, Penny. Here we go. $1,900. Let's see how I do. Maybe they're really tough.
Nah. Number one. John Krasinski and Steve Carell are cracking jokes.
Nope, they're not really tough.
In a promo for a new family movie they're both in called If. What TV show do they famously star in together?
The Office?
Yes.
I hope that's one of the two.
No.
Oh, no.
I know.
All right, Penny.
Number two, Ryan Seacrest and girlfriend Aubrey Page have split up after 3 years. Ryan Seacrest does everything and will soon add to his resume that he's the host of what iconic show that is currently hosted by Pat Sajak?
Wheel of Fortune. It's getting sad getting down to these last episodes with Pat Sajak.
It is. But he's going to be on as a consultant for years.
I mean, so?
Number three, Tupac's estate is threatening to sue Drake over AI voice imitation that he used on a recent track.
Yeah, that's not cool.
It's not cool. What was Tupac's last name?
Shakur.
Yeah, of course. Number four, Giselle was filmed crying at a traffic stop after stating that she can't get away from paparazzi and they're constantly stalking her. Giselle is from what country?
She's from Brazil.
She is. You know, I don't know why, but I teared up watching her cry.
You know, it's real easy to not feel bad for celebrities in these situations. At the other point, like, where's the human decency?
Yeah, just leave her alone. My gosh, she let her go shopping.
Just everybody just back off of everybody.
All right, number five, Jennifer Aniston is producing a remake of 9 to 5. In the original movie, Dolly Parton, Lily Tomlin, and what other actors played co-workers rebelling against their sexist boss?
Who'd you say, Dolly Parton, Lily Tomlin?
Yep.
Oh, who's the third one? Oh, I'm going to be so... Jane Fonda.
Jane Fonda.
I mean, I don't even know. Aniston, I love you. This is not a good idea.
Follow-up question. Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda star on what show right now?
What is it? Something in Frankie? Eddie and Frankie?
Grace and Frankie.
Grace and Frankie.
Grace and Frankie.
All right. I'm sorry, Penny. He beat you 5-2 today. That's going to get you an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
Thank you. This is Penny, and I couldn't be Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $2,000 Monday.